Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's programme for January the 8th. I'm Thomas Stevens. Avalanches, body scanners and space tourism all squeeze into this week's podcast. But first, a pop quiz. Why am I playing this snippet of music? That was a very rare recording of a yodeling Elvis Presley, who would of course have been 75 today. And now for this week's main news. On January the 3rd, 7 people died and 5 were injured in a double avalanche in the Bernese Alps, the worst accident of its kind in Switzerland for 10 years. SwissInfo.ch's Dale Bechtel has been following the events.
It's interesting to see how few accidents there are every year because the numbers of people going into the mountains, winter or summer, mostly summer, but still a lot in winter, is increasing every year. There are about 250,000 people who say they like to go ski touring or ski mountaineering, and 50,000 who do it on a regular basis. Being out in the mountains is becoming much more popular. The Swiss Alpine Club told me that they're gaining 3,000 to 4,000 new members every year and now have 127,000.
And these are, we should emphasize that it's not just people on the piste, it's people on the mountains.
These are people that really should know what they're doing. They're not people who are going to a resort like Zermatt or Verbier or Grindelwald and deciding, oh, let's go off piste so we can ski some powder. And then, oops, we set off an avalanche and now we need to call in this Swiss air rescue service. Not at all. These are people who are specially equipped. They've got shovels, they've got transceivers. So in case there is an accident, the transceiver will send out a signal so others can find them and dig them out. They're well aware. They should know how to judge the local situation. In other words, before they go out, they'll have looked at the avalanche report, which says, okay, in this area, there's a considerable risk or a high risk of avalanche. They should be able to know to look at the slope. What's the risk here? Should we take this route or take another route?
And actually, on Sunday, the avalanche danger was moderate at the time, which is second from bottom on a 5-point scale. According to the latest police reports, it seems that most of the victims were helpers, and they were buried in a second avalanche. Is that unusual?
It is unusual. The first avalanche, okay. We have reports from other people who were skiing on that mountain that morning and saw the first avalanche that there was a risk. There had been a lot of snow that had shifted due to the winds, and there was a risk. So it's not surprising. An expert that I spoke to said it's not surprising that a first avalanche was set off, because even though the risk level was set at moderate, that does not mean that an avalanche cannot be set off, and probably by humans. There were dozens of people on that particular mountain on that morning. The second avalanche, everybody told me, very surprising. And you have to realize that the Swiss Air Rescue Service that dropped off a doctor to help search for the first person, because only one person was actually buried by the first avalanche, there's supposed to judge the situation, fly in, take a look. Is there a risk to ourselves if we go in to help? And so this was very surprising that a second avalanche came down, and it didn't come down in the same from the same slope. It came down from an opposite slope.
Because you haven't got much time to make a decision, have you? Because every second really does count when you're dealing with an avalanche. What are your survival chances in an avalanche?
Well, essentially, everyone talks about 15 minutes. If you're buried by an avalanche, you have an 80% chance of survival if you're dug out within the first 15 minutes. If they take twice as long to find you, your survival chance drops to 40%. And and then 60 minutes, you've only got a 25% chance of survival and so on.
How many people die on Swiss mountains every year?
It's between 20 and 25 a year. The number has gone down. In actual fact, there used to be, up into the late 1970s, about 60% of everyone that got caught in an avalanche died. That figure is now down to 40%. And the Swiss Avalanche Research Institute in Davos says it's quite interesting to see that people are aware of what they should do in the case of an accident. In other words, they know they've got the right equipment on them. They know how to use the equipment. And the Swiss Air Rescue Service is getting better, of course, at pulling people out. Resorts do make the skiers on the slopes aware of the no-go zones. Whether people follow these instructions, that's another issue.
Dale Bechtel. Also this week, a debate broke out over the introduction of full-body scanners in airports after a terrorist tried and failed to blow up a plane over Detroit on Christmas Day using an improvised explosive device hidden in his underwear. The Swiss Federal Office of Civil Aviation said there were no plans to introduce the scanners in Geneva, Zurich or Basel airports, but added that if the machines, which it described as a useful security tool, were approved by the EU, airports in non-EU Switzerland would probably follow suit. However, Defence Minister Uli Maurer was quick to dismiss the scanners. It would be unacceptable for people to be viewed completely naked, he reckoned. On January the 8th, the Economics Ministry said Swiss unemployment reached its highest point in over a decade last month. Although at 4.4%, it's a problem many countries would love to have. The ministry attributed the December rise to seasonal factors and noted that foreigners were overrepresented among the jobless at 8.6%. Unemployment is 7.8% in neighbouring Italy, 8.1% in Germany, and 10.1% in France. In Spain, one in five people is out of work. And finally, a Swiss court this week slapped a speeding driver with an eye-watering fine of 300,000 francs, some $290,000. The repeat offender was busted doing 137 kilometres an hour through a village in his Ferrari Testarossa, 57 kilometres an hour over the speed limit. Judges in St. Gallen based the record fine on the speeder's estimated wealth of more than 23 million francs. Now it's time for Out and About, where roving SwissInfo.ch journalists report from the far corners of Switzerland, or indeed the universe. Banker Peter von May is planning to become the first ever Swiss space tourist on board Richard Branson's pioneering Virgin Galactic space shuttle. The flight, the first commercial venture of its kind, will climb to a height of 110 kilometres, allowing passengers to experience weightlessness and to catch an exceptional view of the Earth. The first flights, blasting off from the Mojave Desert in California, are expected to take place next year. Isabel Leibold-Johnson visited von May in Wollerau near Lake Zurich to find out more.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Space. The final frontier. A place where only a few have boldly gone where no man has gone before. Peter von May, a keen amateur pilot, is one of just 100 founder astronauts who have already paid $200,000 or 217,000 Swiss francs to take part in Virgin Atlantic's commercial space mission. The technology is sophisticated. A carrier plane containing a rocket will fly 15 kilometres above the Earth. After this, the rocket will be launched, reaching 110 kilometres after 90 seconds. The space experience will then begin. Here's von May.
Then you are there without gravity for only a short time, unfortunately. They say you can detach your belts and then you can float around a bit. And then afterwards you have re-entry and the plane will then just sail down because it has no engine anymore. All the rocket engine is burnt on the launch.
The whole space experience will take just a few minutes, but the flight itself will last 2.5 hours. Von May has already carried out flight simulation training in Philadelphia. There may not have been any need to go at warp speed, but the founder astronauts did endure 3.5 Gs, 3.5 times the acceleration of gravity, for 90 seconds, just as they would for the space launch. At re-entry, they experienced 6 Gs, but only for 30 seconds, which von May said was rather tougher. Of the 88 founders who took part, only 4 didn't make it through. All that remains now is a medical.
Actually, everybody can do it. The oldest 88 and the youngest 11. But there will be a final medical before the actual flight. And this NASA doctor who will do that. I met him in the centrifuge, he was there. It's actually for everybody. You just have to be healthy.
The banker is hoping that the flight will indeed take place next year. The carrier and the rocket are still undergoing strict safety testing. This is why no date has been set for the mission's Star Trek. Von May loves flying his plane, but the idea of going beyond that, to the final frontier, is an exciting one, he says.
For me, it's very simple. It's just going up there and looking at the Earth from above. I mean, if I could afford it, I would do it like the other guys who spent $25 million to be up there for 5 days. I think it is very special.
Isabel Lybell Johnson talking to banker and aspiring space tourist Peter von May. And now to play us out an organ classic. Charles-Marie Vidor wrote the Toccata from his Symphony for Organ No. 5 in 1879, and it has since become a wedding favourite, not to mention a killer on the organist's right hand. Here, British concert organist Christopher Herrick plays Vidor's Toccata in Bern's Münster Cathedral. Thanks for listening. Read more about these stories and other Swiss news and views at swissinfo.ch. I'm Thomas Stevens.